this is Michelle Anderson, north of Bangor, and today I am talking to Kevin Ray, who is the president of the state senate. Hi, Kevin, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. Summer vacation for me.
Well, it's good to be with you. The Senate is winding up its business for the year, and we're closing in on adjournment.
Wonderful. So let me ask you, what do you think is the most remarkable thing about what happened in the Senate this year? Is there anything that comes to mind?
Well, it's actually, I think in a number of respects, it's been a very productive and historic session. But not the least of the accomplishments that I think are remarkable would be the passage of the budget, which the governor has signed into law this afternoon. And it really, I think, represents a significant transformation of the direction of state government. We have now enacted the largest tax cut in the history of Maine. And I'm very proud of that. It's a terrific step forward for Maine. It's going to bring lower taxes for people at all income levels, from the poorest Mainers on up. Mm-hmm. And it also has targeted tax cuts that are going to help spur on private investment and job creation, something that we have desperately needed in Maine for a very long time.
So he's signing that today, huh?
Yes, Governor signed the budget earlier this afternoon as we speak. It is Monday, June 20th, and the governor signed the budget earlier today. And his office called me right away to share the good news. It's a very significant accomplishment for the governor, for the legislature, and for the people of Maine.
So what else is going on that my listeners need to know about?
Well, sticking to the budget for a moment, clearly not only the tax cuts, but the fact that we enacted welfare reform and significant improvements to strengthen the state pension system. So we know that it will be there for people who depend on it in years to come, I think very significant. Also, something that hasn't been talked about a lot, but the fact that the state budget really carves out education as a priority. You look at what's happening to education across this country with states grappling with fiscal problems, I think Maine really will stand out in that we, at the governor's behest, we made no cuts to higher education, and we increased funding for K-12 education by $41 million over the biennium.
Oh, really?
Yes, which I think is just outstanding. The governor put his money where his mouth is. He said he wanted education to be a priority. He made it a priority. I think you can be very proud of that.
Well, can you tell me, you mentioned welfare reform. What big things are in the works for our welfare reform?
Well, I think the most important provision of welfare reform is the imposition of a 5-year time limit for TANF.
Like the rest of the country.
Exactly. Finally, Maine steps up to the plate and impose a meaningful 5-year time limit. And it does have, as does every state, it does allow for exceptions in extreme circumstances, which I think most people, the governor included, you know, would agree is necessary and the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. But it's a significant reform, and also among the reforms is that Maine is no longer will be an outlier in terms of affording Medicaid coverage for non-citizens who move to Maine. Maine has been in this odd situation where we've afforded those benefits from day one,
right,
really sort of making Maine a magnet for non-citizens. And there really was no justification for why Maine should be such an outlier in that regard. So I think important reforms, and the governor, you know, he spoke with clarity during his campaign that he wanted welfare reform included in his budget, and he got it.
Okay, let me ask you something that is a particular interest to my listeners, I think. I was reading in the paper about that whole landfill thing up in the Millinocket area.
Yes.
And I think that there was only one dissenter, am I right?
Yes, I believe in the final analysis, it was, I think there was one dissenting vote in the Senate, if I recall correctly.
That sort of belies
the fact that it had been very hotly debated.
And that was that's what my question was, because I saw everyone was complaining, they didn't like it, but they all voted for it. Can you explain why that is?
Well, I don't know if you can say that everybody didn't like it. I can tell you that in the Republican caucus in the Senate, the overriding concern was the survival of the Katahdin Valley and the Katahdin region. And if we weren't able to, frankly, if we're going to close the door on papermaking in the Katahdin region, what does that say about the future of those communities?
Mm-hmm.
And what does it say about the future of Maine and our forest products industry? The overarching concern for Republican senators were those 400 to 600 jobs and the future of that community. We were committed, and from the outset, Republicans in the Senate argued that we had to step up and do this to secure the future. The governor was a very strong proponent. Senator Doug Thomas, who represents the Millinocket area, was a very strong proponent. And you know, unfortunately, there were some concerns in the Democratic caucus that we were afraid could really put a crimp in the effort. But in final analysis, the Senate did come together in support of it.
Great. Now, can you tell me, did that guarantee that it will remain a paper mill, or you know, the buyer will keep it running as a paper mill, or does it guarantee that the people who've been laid off will be rehired, or are there any of those kinds of guarantees, or do you know?
It certainly is the goal. It's very difficult to have that kind of ironclad guarantee, but there are, we did speak with the folks in terms of licensing of the landfill, and there are things that they can put in the license that can help with some teeth in it.
Okay.
But the key concern right now is that we have, you know, a real strong potential buyer, and delicate negotiations with the state that could result in those jobs being saved and really virtually saving those entire communities. And we felt it was very important not to send the wrong signal. You know, we're all about trying to create jobs, and not only create jobs, but preserve the jobs that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the governor had the right instincts, and I think the legislature did the right thing in getting behind it.
Have you guys...
One other thing I thought I'd mention, I think is of particular interest to your listeners, would be the debate regarding LURC,
mm-hmm.
the Land Use Regulation Commission.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been working throughout this entire legislative session all year long, working very closely with Representative Jeff Gifford, who introduced a bill to abolish LURC. And that's a bill that certainly had my strong support. But there was concern on the Agriculture Conservation and Forestry Committee that the people wanted more information and really to make sure they were making a thoughtful, deliberative decision. So I put forward an amendment that would create a study commission. And we succeeded in getting that through the legislature. So Governor LePage, Speaker Bob Nutting, and I will be appointing members of a study commission to make recommendations to the legislature in terms of the future of land use regulation in the unorganized territory. I've been concerned that LURC, the laws that govern LURC and land use regulation throughout the unorganized territory.
Okay, we seem to have lost Senator Ray, and he assured me beforehand that he would give me a call back if that happened. Hello?
Hi.
Oh, okay.
I suddenly realized I was talking to myself. Okay. Yeah, I've been concerned for some time that the laws governing land use in the unorganized territory are flawed. And I'll tell you what really convinced me that the time had come for the legislature to take action, and that was the experience of Plum Creek. You know, you had a private landowner proposing the development on their own land that had strong support in neighboring communities like Greenville, and yet they had to go to Cumberland County
right.
and hold a public forum where folks who live, you know, 4 or 5 hours away have as much standing in the process as do the owners of the land and the neighbors.
Right.
And that's kind of very, very troubling. And I don't think that that has any place in a democracy. And so I'm convinced that we need to do better. And I'm hoping the study group will be able to come back with solid recommendations for the legislature to act on in the next session.
Great. Well, let me ask you, is Jeff Gifford going to be on that study group, or do we know yet?
It's not going to have legislators.
Okay.
We specifically do not want legislators. We're looking for stakeholders. We're going to have unorganized territory residents. We're going to have landowners. We're going to have economic development folks, people involved in tourism, the forest products industry, really the people who really have a stake in the future. And they're going to consult with the Agriculture Conservation and Forestry Committee, which Jeff Gifford serves on and which Roger Sherman chairs, and then come back with a recommendation.
Okay. Any idea when that'll be?
They are charged with doing their work by the end of December and reporting back to the second session of legislature in January.
Thank you very much for that. Can you tell me, has the Senate done anything about the changes in voting that have been proposed, or has that not reached you yet?
Yes, the Senate has enacted and sent to the governor for his signature a reform that will require people to register in advance of Election Day. It was hotly debated in the legislature.
And in the newspaper. And in the newspaper.
And in the newspapers. Yes, and in the newspapers as well, exactly. But, you know, the fact of the matter is, it is a rational, reasonable, and thoughtful reform. And it puts Maine squarely in sync with other states. We become the 43rd state to require people to register in advance of Election Day. And, you know, we heard a lot of rhetoric with Democrats charging it with disenfranchised people. That's absolutely not the case. Everybody will have the same opportunity to register to vote, to obey the rules, understand the rules, as they do in 42 other states.
Wonderful.
And it's going to, I think, allow our town clerks and elections officials the time that they need to make sure that the lists are accurate and really make sure that nobody will have any questions about the people who are voting on Election Day.
Well, I have no more questions. Do you have anything else you want to tell us about that you think we need to know up here?
Well, I'll tell you one thing I'm very proud of. You know, we had the first Republican legislature and Republican governor serving together in almost half a century.
Right.
And one of the very important accomplishments the legislature has made in this session is to cut our own budget. The legislative budget has been cut as a result of Republican leadership by $8.3 million, and that represents a 14% cut, the largest cut, I am told, in the history of the Maine legislature. I think that speaks volumes about our commitment to being a good steward of taxpayer dollars and putting our money where our mouth is and making sure that not only are we leading the transformation of the state government, but we're also taking our share of the cut. And I'm proud of that.
Great. I think that's something to be proud of. Well, Senator...
I thank you for that. I think it's something many people need to know. I think it will help to restore confidence in the legislature. You know, I think for too long people have seen the legislature be sort of, distant. But I think the fact that we were willing to step up to the plate in a significant way can hopefully go a long way toward healing some of the cynicism that people feel toward politicians.
Well, I want to thank you very much for taking the time out to speak to me.
Well, it's my pleasure. I enjoy listening to you, and I'm glad to have an opportunity to participate in an interview with you.
Thank you so much, and I hope we get to talk to you again sometime during the next session.
Thanks a lot, Michelle. I look forward to it. Have a good summer.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
This is Michelle Anderson, north of Bangor, and I hope that you'll stick around for our next interview when we talk to somebody else about the things that interest us north of Bangor.